What is the subject? What is the...
I just look here.
Very special subject is to discuss.
We're learning in one of the Tochen, and we're learning Bais Yehudi. We stand on Roiv Da Oilam here. We're from the... discuss Bais Yehudi. Bais Yehudi Da Oilam here is either married or very close.
Or the LDM.
Yeah?
Or the LDM.
Yonah D.M. is better. Okay. Okay, good afternoon. I think it's appropriate that we should discuss in Yonah D.M. Ben Amtsori. And take it apart a little bit in depth. Before we getting into the subject, we should take very seriously every statement of Chazal and try to analyze it and how is it relevant, what is the message. Everyone knows when you learn Hilchos Shabbos, you know how to apply it in everyday life. You learn Hilchos Shabbos, Hilchos Boyri, Hilchos Muktzah, Hilchos Erevin. You know what you're doing with it. There's Chazals, Memori Chazals, how do you apply it? So, for instance, I'm going to throw out the Chazals. And in my opinion, and usually when I say the word to my eye, it's not that special and you have to take it seriously, it's the opposite. I didn't see it, I don't have absolute backing strongly whom I could base it on. It's the way it comes out, the way I see it. And the way for, take it with a grain of salt, take it with caution. If you don't like it, you could reject it, you could throw it out. I like to analyze Memori Chazal very relevantly, and I think that's the shit of the Maral, that's the way we're supposed to learn Chazal. So when you learn Halacha, you have no free, it's not a freelance interpretation, it's either whatever the Halacha is. You just can't bring a Svori in and push away Mogen Avraham or Taos or the Mishneh Berurah. You just can't come with your Svara and fabricate your own thing. But when it comes to statements of Memori Chazal, it's like art. It's not a locha, but they don't say it for nothing. The Maral Shita is that every information which Chazal gives us is a meaningful ingredient which you have to be able to apply to day to day life. And we have an absolute obligation to interpret them, what does this statement teach him? And that's, by the way, the whole Torah's Meral. All the Sifre Meral, Agoras HaShas, it takes Medroshim, it Zohars, with Chazals, with Gemoras, and takes it apart, it makes a whole like a puzzle, like a Lego. Takes, detailizes it, analyzes it, and builds structures, rayonis, thoughts, information from it. So we go in this shita, I'm at the Talmud of Meral, in that sense. So in Yonah D.M. we're going to throw out a few Chazals and that try to figure out what they try to tell us. One of the first statements which Chazal is a Medrash, the Tisha B'Av afternoon is the birth of Mashiach. Mashiach is born Tisha B'Av afternoon. What does that mean? When we have 2,000 Tisha B'Av behind us, I mean there's 2,000 birthdays, where is he? What is the meaning why Tisha B'Av should be the birth of Mashiach, and what is that Mashiach, and where is he that Mashiach? Now, again, we're not talking about Mashiach we see on every bus stop and all the pictures. We're not talking about we're talking about Mashiach of Chazal. What is it? He's born on Tisha B'Av afternoon, every Tisha B'Av. What's his pshat? That's number one. Number two, Chazal tell us, Kol dor shel nivra b'samikdash b'yomav, any which was not built in his days, kilu nechravim, it's been destroyed. That means, if we are not building it, if this Tisha B'Av, which is going to be in 2 weeks, if we had not built the Beis HaMikdash, we destroyed it. So you don't sit and cry for something that took place 2,000 years ago. We are Machir Beis HaMikdash. If you had not built them, if it has not been built in our generation, our time, it has been destroyed in our generation. How do you understand it? You're being accused of destroying it. And by the way, there was great people behind us. Where is the Tisha B'Av? Where is the Rambam's Tisha B'Av, Beis HaMikdash? Where is the Riyakodesh Beis HaMikdash? And the Vilna Gaon and the Baal Shem Tov. and the Chofetz Chaim's, and the great people, they also didn't build a Beis HaMikdash, they cried for it. So where is it? Obviously they also destroyed it. It's not only we, you have to understand it. Is all the Chazal, Kolodim Shiesh Bodeo, any person who has intelligence, who is intelligent, and lives with thoughts, food for thoughts, Pirkei Machshava, you try to figure out things. Kilu Nivri Beis HaMikdash B'yomav, like you believe in this. Obviously, the Rama had a lot of machshava, the Riyah Kodesh a lot of machshava, the Vilna Gaon a lot of machshava. Had you built, where is it? So obviously, see, building and destroying is not something which you have to see in front of you. There's all the Chazal called Bis'abal al Yerushalayim b'chirvoinoi. Anyone mourns on Yerushalayim, the destruction of Yerushalayim, Zoyche v'roibe is merited and sees his structure. That's a yiskevira, he will see it. It's not a promise. If you cry today, it hurts you, but the slime, the way it looks, it's destroyed. It says, Zoyche v'roibe, you're ready, merit to see it. You see building it. No, where is it? So we see from this Moreh Chazal that it's shaykh to destroy and build without visibly seeing it with your eyes. In today's modern technology, it's very simple to explain. I mean, you work today in computers and the internet, and you have all this halalit, I would call it, in the orbit, so satellites, right, in which all manipulated and maneuvered from below him with pushing buttons without seeing anything what you're doing. The printout is somewhere else. Modern technology shows that you have the remote control from distance that you could build and do and instruct and communicate and maneuver the satellites wherever they are and photograph whatever they are without visibly seeing it. And obviously, this whole concept of Beis HaMikdash, the whole concept of Mashiach is a reality, does not mean that you have to see it visibly in front of your eyes. And you connect it, if you're controlling it, you give birth to Mashiach and you could kill him. Mashiach B'Yosef is dying. Mashiach B'Dovid is taking over. Are you Mashiach B'Yosef, Mashiach B'Dovid, that we have a certain control. And obviously you could destroy the Beis HaMikdash and you generate. I don't see the destruction, but obviously yes, because if you could build them now and you could be Zoyche V'Rebbe V'Nyonoi. So the Maaseh, those Chazals has to be understood to our level, it has to have sense, it has to have meaning. And I will try to explain it the way I understand it, and not to meant to be that that's the only explanation. I'm sorry. It doesn't have to be the only explanation, but at least I have to understand it. There's a very beautiful Chasam Sofer that Ezer Chochem, who is a smart person, Haroye Esanoilet, who sees the meaning of the Mishnah, actually, who sees what's going to be. You see, you have vision. You know what to expect. So the Mishnah Shalev says, Ezer Chochem Haroye Ashivolet, and you see what will be born. The Mishnah doesn't say that. It's Haroye Esanoilet, who is a smart person. Means that you know what to expect tomorrow when you see it's what has been born already, what happened already. You see the present and you see the past. Says Chasam Sofer, Hashem does not expect of us to be prophets. If you want to know what's going to be in the future, had you interpreted the present? Had you learned the present? Had you learned the past? And I would bring it out in my way. If there is a mitzvah to learn Gemara, Mitrasha, Mitosis, to understand the Gemara, because this is Torah Hashem, and there isn't a greater mitzvah, the limit of Torah that you want to understand the Torah of Hashem. Learn Chumash Rashi with Rambam, to understand the Posik. It's the Torah Hashem. How much more should there be a mitzvah learning what actually Hashem is doing in front of your own eyes? Have you sat back and interpreted what's going on in the world? Don't you see Hashem is in action? Don't you see Hashem is doing something? Had you interpreted them? Had you taken conclusions from it? How to behave? What to do? Unbelievable great things are happening in front of our own eyes. Have you studied it? And I didn't want to bang on that, but I just bring it out to you anyway. I think once I spoke about it. Had you realized that 2,500 years of history came to an end 20 years ago? 2,500 years of proven history, no doubt, came to total end 20 years ago. 2,500 years we were prosecuted and against Torah, against God. Bovel, Voda, Yovan, Edom, Nebuchadnezzar, the first Mesimic, she wasn't against us physically. You just take away the air. Disconnect us from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Moda, the same thing. Yovan, Chochmei Yovonis, Lashkichum Torah Secho. Rome, the sense of Tavshas decrees, anyone smicha that should be killed. Sorry, Rigamakhli, but he was killed because he was teaching Torah. Till 20 years ago, there was still an official government, Russia, where officially you were not allowed to keep Shabbos and make Bris Milah. You went to Siberia. You understand this? We are so far from that era that we can't even understand how could the world tolerate such a country. A member in the United Nations officially discriminating against a religion. Look back. Today, we are so distant from that era, it only happened 20 years ago. Even Iran today is not discriminating against Judaism, against Zionism, yes. In Iran, there's a Shiva, Talmud Torah, and Kashrus Rabbanim, they allow to do anything. People go to visit in that sense. No country today will allow themselves openly to discriminate against religion. Freedom of speech, you can do it anything you want. Have we changed? I always say that 100 years ago, if you went in a little Polish town with disrespectful front of the church, front of the statue of Jesus, they literally burned you alive. You offended Jesus. Today you could go on the internet and make fun little tunnels of Jesus, you're going to get a Nobel Prize. Just don't start with Islam, then you finish. Jesus is free, you could do anything you want. I mean, we were prosecuted by the Christians. I mean, what we went through, the Spanish Inquisition, the Crusaders, all the Crusaders, the bishops, everything, the expulsion, what didn't we walk through? And today they're all bankrupt. Everyone knows the truth, and you could do it. What happened? That means to say that we don't study present events. So how do you want to figure out tomorrow if you don't even have the respect of studying what Hashem is doing? What era do we live? You have freedom of rights. You have all the freedom. At the same time, was there ever era in time you have so many Bolsheviks in the world, in every corner of the world, nice, young, intelligent men, women, abandoning the parents, society, learning Torah, and fresh Jews? This thing never existed, never, never, ever existed. If there was Bolsheviks, they say in the times of Sadigon, if there were Jews, that the tzaddikim, they pulled back certain people who left Judaism and they pulled them back. Today's what Jews never left Judaism. They were never born Jews to begin with. They never given a chance. Where are you going back to? But something is happening. So let's talk to some surfaces. Some surfaces, who is a smart person who studies the present? And if you study the present, you can figure out the future. But I'm adding my Torah to Chasim Sofer, which is not mine, it's a Meral. The Meral says, Chochem Odof Minov. Somebody smart has an advantage over a prophet. It's rare to be smart than to be a prophet. So the answer is why? Because a Novi, a child could be a prophet. Somebody, tomorrow is going to be this and this and this. Doesn't mean he understands it, why, what, and when. It gives him a fact. He opens up gets a future information what's going to be. Doesn't mean he knows what to, how to connect them to. So it's not smart. He knows. Hashem will give it to him. A maiden had seen what the biggest prophet didn't see. But she'd have made a maiden. She'd seen everything, but also she didn't draw conclusions from it. Chochem. If you know how to figure out the tomorrow, how to prepare for tomorrow, because you analyze the thing with your own intelligence, that is an advantage over the prophet. You know what to do with it. So I have a big claim to myself and to my audiences. We're not studying Hashem's action. We're studying Hashem's Torah, which is great. What Hashem expects, we should study Hashem's action just as well. I think this is life Torah. Hashem is an artist. Something is happening. The world is falling apart. What's happening here? Yishmor, the whole world. And we don't try to connect. Gilead, it's not my subject. I'm so much immersed in learning Torah, which is good. Avadi should learn Torah. But life Torah is a statement of Mal Shem Tov, it's about time you bring it down. When you learn the sugya, if you exchange a cow with a donkey, and you make this change when you coin it a kinyan, this and this and that. It's mad when you learn in Tiri Machlif Pori Bechamoy, it's considered learning Torah. Achas kama vekam, that you actually exchange a cow with a donkey is a vada Torah for going according to Galocha. That is vada Torah. You're behaving Torah in action, not in theory. We study Hashem in action, we don't study Hashem in action. And this is the first thing which I wanted to say. This is what Chazal tried to tell us. Kolonim Shesh Bodeo, the person who uses his intelligence, he writes, you're building the Beis HaMikdash. Now, what is the Beis HaMikdash we're talking about? What is Mashiach? And that will give us what I'm telling you. Actually, this is a Meral, but I'm spending it down to earth. Mashiach is Klal Yisrael. Mashiach is the entire Jewish nation. Together is Mashiach. Every one of us is a piece of Mashiach. Mashiach, we have to know very important fundamental information. Every one of us have been given a crucial job to do in order you should deserve the ultimate pleasure with Hashem that you work for it. Not make-believe accomplishments, actual accomplishments. Hashem purposely created the world of tohu vavohu v'choshech, empty, desolate, meaningless, dark, in order to give us an opportunity, milu et ha'oretz v'kibshu, fill in the world, the emptiness, fill them in, conquer it, light them up, learn Torah, do something, k'mitzein tetzei Torah, Yisrael or l'goyim, be the light. So Hashem gave us a very meaningful job to become partners in developing His creation. Not that Hashem couldn't do the job alone, of course He could have done it alone, but because He respects us, because He wants to give us, that's the greatest gift. Chovi Yivodo Shnivir Betzelem. Hashem created us with His image, His command of Binyan Arev, which we were able to build. Nasa Shutaf HaShukur Bochum Asa Bereshis. And there's the first thing which we have to appreciate, you should know that you have a job to do. Elo Chodom Shele Mokom, Elo Chodom Shele Sho, Se Chazad, isn't the man who hasn't got his place, hasn't got his time, where you have to make, you fill it. In other words, let's take it a marshal. Take the whole beautiful, accomplished Olam HaTikun, the complete world. It's a wonderful picture, but the picture is a puzzle. And the puzzle is made up of millions of pieces. And every person is a piece in that puzzle. And if you don't complete your piece, the puzzle is not complete. If the piece is not complete, Mashiach cannot come. It is no Beis HaMikdash. The Beis Mashiach is when He brings a complete picture to the world, and the whole world sees Hashem. Like Adam Rish before He said. Wherever He looked, He sees Hashem. Everything is beautiful. Hashem doesn't make a damaged product. The world is a beautiful garden, the Garden of Eden. Today you don't see it because He destroyed it. Man destroyed it. Why did He destroy it? Because He didn't use His Deo. How do you build? You build with Deo, with intelligence. Therefore we are smart. Hashem gave us intelligence enough to make money, enough to survive, enough to keep it, enough to be politicians. Gave us intelligence. What is the Beis HaMikdash, says the Meral? When the world is completed, it's a sanctuary that you look at it to see the beautiful world. That's the Beis HaMikdash. The whole world sees it. It's non-deniable. My house of worship, which is the Beis HaMikdash, is actually speaking out to all the nations. Every goy, yakiru v'yedu kol yoshe sev, k'shem v'lokim, kol berech v'tichra, evitiv se'al k'nekam v'locho. That's a completed world. And when the world is completed, that Hashem is undeniable, wherever you see Hashem, why? Because see the house, the Beis HaMikdash, the global Beis HaMikdash, who build them? Kol Yisrael, every Jew. Everyone has to build the Beis HaMikdash. Everyone's given a share in that puzzle. If you do it, you're a partner. If you don't. And that is the part of Mashiach in every person. Mashiach is the ultimate. Actually represents Klal Yisrael, but he hasn't got anything on his own. Mashiach is not an outside factor, he's not an outside salvager. We're not Christians, we're not Muslims, we're not nobody's going to come to salvage you. You have to salvage yourself. You have to redeem yourself. Ein Yisrael Nigalim Eile B'Tshuva. You're not going to be redeemed unless you do Tshuva. Tshuva is Toshuv Hei. You come back to your source, you come back to your root. You discovered yourself. The difference is, if I discover myself 100%, and I made 100% connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I have my Beis HaMikdash, I have my Mashiach. and it's not depending in place and time. It could be Tisha B'Av. I'm born Tisha B'Av. So we're going to explain why. Only problem is I can't show it to the world. And Mashiach is the one who collects all the local mini sanctuaries which every Jew is supposed to be, and he puts it together, and that goes out for the world. So there is never a time that you should be sad that you cannot build your own personal sanctuary. If you're smart, use intelligence, you're building your Beis HaMikdash. You see Hashem in every respect. People build the Beis HaMikdash in the Holocaust. And people destroy the Beis HaMikdash in the most beautiful Beis HaMikdash. Shlomo Melech Beis HaMikdash, Ezra Seventh Beis HaMikdash. He had the first Beis HaMikdash, and in the 10 miracles performing, prophets and everything. And you couldn't deny Hashem. And they destroyed it. So we see that no outside factor could have an impact on you to build or to destroy. Hashem could give you on a golden platter the ultimate beautiful Beis HaMikdash Shlomo Melech built, and you go actually destroying it. And Hashem allows it. And they destroyed it. And you could have a total Tisha B'Av, the whole Beis HaMikdash up in ashes and fire, and you give birth to yourself, and you were born. I gave birth to Mashiach, I gave birth to myself, I discovered myself. It depends on you. The only difference is, when you do your share, wonderful, you connect it to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but you can't show it out to the world, and that's what we're mourning. Avraham Avinu, which is the father of the Jewish nation, gave us two functions. The first and foremost, which nobody is exempt of it, and is not dependent on any condition, discover yourself, your individuality, and make a connection to Hashem. You are Adam Rishon, you are the purpose of creation. Reject the whole world. There's no world. It's me and Hashem, Hashem and me. Nothing in the world could disconnect me from the Kodesh world. I could, and who is the example if not Avraham Avinu, or later on the second phase, Rabbi Akiva. Avraham Avinu ben Terach, father of worshipper, he himself was born into a society where the whole world went against HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he discovered single-handedly Hashem, Echot Avram, and Hashem says, you're my purpose of creation, I got back my world. Hashem created all the Marishan, and he destroyed the world. Hashem told him, ten da'atcho, pay attention, use your intelligence, how to calculate the tachos, don't destroy my world. So what do we see from this message that Hashem said to the Marishan, and says this to us too, ten da'atcho, pay attention, don't neglect your intelligence. The minute you neglect your intelligence, not only you're not willing, you're destroying. That's what the Marishan had done. What the Marishan had destroyed the world by what? By Hesach Hadas. He put his mind on the side. Today you want to build a Beis HaMikdash? Have a mind. Use your mind. Interpret events. Understand what your role is. And that function, that assignment is given to every individual, and no way can you be exempt the excuse, I cannot do it. It has nothing to do with your background, it has nothing to do with your behavior, who your father was, what you've done in the past. Avraham Avinu is my example. Terach, society, the worst, the whole world goes against Hashem. He himself, according to the Rambam, worshipped Avodah Zarah himself. But he searched for the truth. He the first convert. Rabbi Akiva, the son of a convert, was Am Oretz, hated the Talmud Chacham to the age of 40. He became the Rebbe, the whole Torah Shabbat path. What is Hashem? Yes, Bateo. He had intelligence. He knew to take responsibility. And interesting, Sai Avram and Sai Rabbi Akiva had the title Echot. Echot Hoy Avram? Almost one. But to show that you, every one of us is Echot. You as an individual, you could be born in the worst circumstance, Tisha B'Av afternoon. When there's absolute no help from the outside, and you use your mind, who am I? That's your birth, Avraham Avinu. Rabbi Akiva, the Gemara says, Menachos Odom Echod Yesh, Osed Lios, Besof Kama Doeres, Akiva, Beyois Yishmoy. He's called Odom Echod. And that is the message of Rabbi Akiva, that we're individualists. And in that function, to build your personal connection with Hashem, nothing in the world could interfere. You could have the biggest Tisha B'Av. I mean, the metaphor of the biggest destruction is Tisha B'Av. The whole Beis HaMikdash went up on fire and we expelled from our country. Dafka day, you were born. Says, you can't destroy me. You can't deny me. And if you found Hashem in that thing, you were born. And that's Mashiach. You are meaning Mashiach. That's the first assignment Avraham Avinu gave us. There is a second assignment. To bring the whole world. We're advertising God. We're supposed to bring God. To be Mamlechaku is Gadal, Viskadash Meirabo. That you cannot do single handed. There we need every single individual Jew. Then you need the Beis HaMikdash, the global Beis HaMikdash. I have my mini Mikdash, my personal saying. By the way, the Torah, when he speaks about the mitzvah of building of Beis HaMikdash, how does the Torah express it? And the Rambam says it in the Halacha Beis HaFira. Also, make me sanctuary and dwell in them. In him, in that house, in them, again, individual. We have the Torah, when Torah speaks about the means of building with some English, build your own person with some English. And that could be built at any place, in any time, in any situation, in any circumstances. In other words, when you know that you, like other magicians in the world, you see a whole world, there's Hashem in me in the world, and nothing will interfere between me and Hashem. Hashem Echad, Hashem is one, and I am one with Him. You have a person with a mikdash. Primary is you can't advertise it to the world, you can't show it to the world. In order to take the second child, to bring it out to the world, there we need a Am, there we need a nation. We need Kahanim, Leviim, we need to be a mikdash, we need to destroy, we need Shalim, because Shalim is the capital from the world. And they always say, a couple who are madly in love with each other, and they're totally homeless, and they sleep in the parks and the subway stations, between them there's no problem. They have each other. They love each other. But nobody knows it's a couple. If they live in an apartment, there's a sign, Mr. and Mrs. So-and-so lives, so then everybody knows he lives a couple. And if they live in a mansion, which is one in the world, a palace, and everyone says, who lives in it? He says, the king and the queen. Then everyone knows. I and Hashem, and every single individual, you Mashiach, you have your sanctuary, you have your Mikdash, we never depart from each other in the world. The opposite. Dafka when it's a Tisha B'Av, when nothing is there in the world, so Hashem is homeless, and I'm homeless, and I find Him, and I become one, and I accept Him, that's the birth of Mashiach. You have been born. Dafka there. What it can show to the world. Nobody sees that we are a couple. And everyone's going to make his own mini Mikdash, complete his mini Mikdash. You're going to build your own Mikdash. You use your own day. You know how to use it. That you know what it is. Ten Da'atcho, you're paying attention. Al Tikal Tachar Salomi. So when there's enough bricks to put together the global Mikdash, Melech HaMashiach is every single individual of us. He is actually personifying us. He's our face of Klal Yisrael. And he's going to bring out to the world our structure, so the Beis HaMikdash which we expect to be built is actually not for us. I have it personally. I build them. However, Kibbeis says the Maral, Kibbeis Yubbeis Tefilo Kore L'chol Amim. Now how's the way you're going to speak out to the Goyim? So it comes out actually it's Abbas Vavisef Yotzi Shabbat Beis HaMikdash V'Sham Navach Dev, we're going to serve you. Where are we going to serve you? I could serve you today. Your own home is a Beis HaMikdash. You want to be Karbonis? Take the Rama, learn Hilchos Oilo, Hilchos Chatos, Kil Yikr Voilo. What are you going to serve you? What does Hashem need my service? He says, very nice. We are you, Hashem, we live together. Fine. Shimcha Shemachula Bagoim. The world is Toy Vavoy Vachoshach. It's dark. So, where will there be a Kirvi? Nefesh Hashem Ose Bechora. Why did Avram Avinu get out of his way? They teach Arabs and everyone. And just there is a God. He says, Kirvi Yikr Hashem Sever. That we need a global Beis HaMikdash, that's what we're mourning. Comes out. When Tisha B'Av, when you are mourning the destruction of Beis HaMikdash, what are you mourning? And I give you a very delicate, deep insight. What are you mourning? What are you hurting? Are you hurting your own personal disconnection from HaKadosh Baruch Hu? You have to wait Tisha B'Av. You're doing it all year. It's your problem. I didn't take away your tissue. I didn't take away your Beis HaMikdash. I don't give you Beis HaMikdash. You have to build a Beis HaMikdash. So why are you mourning? Don't cry. You know, if you don't cry, spill milk. Why are you sitting on the floor and crying? Build them. Bring Hashem into your life. If you're the builder, and you see Hashem, I gave you such a beautiful sanctuary, let me advertise it. And I could only advertise to the global Beis HaMikdash, to Melech HaMashiach. Now I'm crying. No, where is that Mashiach? Why the global Beis HaMikdash? So therefore, Kol Am is Aval Al Yerushalayim Becherboni. Yerushalayim is the capital from the world. Why do you make such a big tzimis of Yerushalayim? Who needs Yerushalayim? I could live in America, I could live wherever, ever. My Dalai Lama is the contrary. In the worst places I live, and I live in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the more I'm hosting HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the greater privilege I have. The greater privilege I have. You know, there's a very beautiful story. The story goes Yitzchak Moshe was one of the great Hasidic rebbes. He wasn't a Chassid bird. Later he became a Chassid. Son of Lot turned him into Chassidus, exposed him to the Chassid in Lublin. Before him, he was a misnagged. He was a terrible mourner on the Beis HaMikdash. He went to sleep, always dressed with a stick, always waiting for Mashiach. He was always yearning for Mashiach. It was always hurting the Chilul Hashem. The Hashem is not acknowledged in the world. When he became a Chassid, and you know, the Chassidim don't make such a big tzimis of Tisha B'Av. They downplay the sadness. You know, it's a bit snagged shiyontu, salitu shiyontu. You could see him cry. Chassidim didn't, and it hurted him. He was very offended by it. But he was always crying for Mashiach and for the Bechorim. And when he got exposed to Hasidus, so once he went to the Chosid, to Yisrael, Chosid in Lublin. They called him Chosid in Lublin because it was very famously known. Just as he opened the door, he came in, he answered you what you wanted to ask. He was a visionary, so you know exactly what you need. Chosid in Lublin was tested again and again. So he came up and he's going to ask the Rebbe question, how come Hasidim don't make such a big team? It's of Tisha B'Av, you know. Don't extremely cry, you know, they push it off. Yeah. As he comes in, and without asking further question, Chosef Olin tells him, the Novi Zot Kumi in Echo, Kumi Roini Baleilois. Actually, meaning is, get up middle of the night and cry. Cry for the stuff from the Samikdash. But this is Kumi Roini Baleilois. Come up and sing. Why are you singing? You're supposed to get up, make Tikkun Chatzos and cry. So why are you singing? Why are you Kumi Roini Baleilois? The answer to Moshe. There was once a war, a big war, and the king lost the war, and his enemy was defeated by the enemy. His army was totally defeated and destroyed, and he barely made it. He escaped. He had to throw off his garments, his kingdom come, shouldn't recognize who he is, had to go with his underwear and ran into the forest, deep, kilometers into the forest. Just escape the enemy. And of course he had to hide that he's the king. It was muddy, of course there was no trace left that he's the king. And after going for days into the depth of the forest, there was a forest man, a very primitive forest man in the middle of the forest. And had no choice, he was freezing, was hungry. And nobody knew who he is, so reluctantly he had to save his life, so knocked on the door. And he says, please, can you give me some food? Can you give me some? I'm freezing, I'm hungry, I'm starving. And the man looks at him, and there was a portrait of the king on the wall. And looks at the king. This peasant, this forest man, saw this unbelievable resemblance to this man, this terrible man, be the king. He says, aren't you the king? Obviously, he had to admit. He says, yes. What are you doing? What happened? You're the great master, the great majesty. And usually in those days, everyone was very much in love with the king and respecting the king, that he had deported from the king. And here the king is all of a sudden in these circumstances in his house. So it says, don't you know there's a war? And so now he doesn't have anything. The primitive guy didn't know anything. There's a war. There's no radio, no internet. No, you know, totally disconnected from civilization. So the king tells him, there was a war, we were defeated, I lost my army, and I barely have saved myself, and I turned around, and please, make sure don't tell anyone who I am. I mean, you discovered who I am. Now this man didn't know what to do with himself. He was in conflict. One answer, I have the privilege to host the king, I'm feeding the king, I'm helping the king. He was beside himself and thrilled from this great privilege. In the other hand, under what circumstances? He was so saddened. My king should be like under this terrible thing. So what's in this conflict? From here he was very sad, he was very happy, such a privilege. So how does he do? How will he lift these both conflicts? How can he do it? So whenever he saw the circumstances, it came to cry. But at the same time, it's enough the sorrow and the pain for the king. He should also cry in his face. So what did he do? When he was in the kitchen making him the food, when the king didn't see him, he cried, he sobbed. He didn't see the pain of the king. But he came in front of him, he sang, he served him, said, don't worry, see, you survived. You still have your army, we're going to get back, we're going to regain it, we're going to rebuild them, so and so. So you had to lay outwardly in the privacy, it was sad. From the king was happy. So that he answered him. Why? What is Tisha B'Av? Tisha B'Av, we have exactly this conflict. Imagine having Tisha B'Av, having Shlomo Melech Beis Hamikdash and Beis Hamikdash. You know, we have no idea what those people wear. You couldn't look in their face. The tzaddikim, the Nevi'im. The Gemara says that in the streets of Jerusalem, in Kiflam, Kiyotim, there was 1,200,000 prophets. You have no idea what a prophet means. A prophet is greater than an angel, greater than a malach. And you saw miracles, you saw everything. So a man says, hey, Rabbi Tavra, I'm going to come to submit this. I'm also here. Who are you? You're a little midget. You're absolutely nothing. Who are you? What are you? Today, you're Rabbi Tavra, Tisha B'Av. You know, you're hosting Hashem at the birth of Mashiach. Hashem, you have nobody. You have only me. The whole world denies you. The whole world is crying about you. Kumi Raylu, I sing for Hashem. Because of Hashem lost the war, and the besmidge is destroyed, but you got me. Am I so privileged? Hashem needs me? Yes, now you need me. Need me? You have him. Kol Adam Sheyesh Bo Deyo, if you understand what's going on, can you leave it? You believe your besmidge, Hashem? You have a mikdash, this is a sanctuary. One day, this sanctuary and your sanctuary, this one, since we're going to get together, and we're going to bring a sanctuary to the world. One day we're going to light up the world. Today it's between me and you. Today we live in this little shack, middle of the forest, meditating with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I would never have this privilege when the global Swedish would be there. Today I have the privilege to have it. Today I'm hosting Hashem. And the big Swedish Hashem was hosting me. But when Hashem was hosting me, I didn't know how to behave. I got drunk, I got intoxicated. Shmanto viso kesito. So what do? We destroyed it. Now why do we destroy it? And that's exactly which I would like to share this message. The mitzvah of building with some mikdash is the mitzvah of an individual. Every individual in his own private life has to build a sanctuary. When is his presence in the world? In every four arts of halacha, there is but four arts of halacha. The world is the Hashem created the world. Why did Hashem create such a terrible world? Empty, desolate, meaningless, dark. To give us an opportunity to fill it. Milu eso or sekipshio. Hashem told us, fill the emptiness and conquer it. Conquer the world. Bring me into the world. Conquer me. Bring it into me. Bring me into the world. Malo is the Hashem. That's Mashiach. What is Mashiach? Malo ho ores is when the whole world will be filled with the knowledge of God. Was there a time the world is so empty as today, with the internet, with everything? Was there a time that there isn't an inch, a centimeter in the world where all the terrible of the Zegel Shavza is spread and pushed? It's empty, desolate, dark, denied. Because Hashem had built in the world, in order we should have a challenge, that I should be able to be meaningful, to be a partner, He created two forces who could oppose Hashem. Not because Hashem is so weak, but Hashem gave us a meaningful job. He created in us, in the world, two forces. This is called Gaiva and Taiva. Arrogancy and Taiva, lust. And Hashem says, wherever you are, I'm moving out. You pushing me out. Ein ani v'hu yochoyim lidu v'tirechot. Wherever you go for your lust, for your pleasure, without considering me, I'm moving out. So the first thing a man has to know is his strength. Hashem says to other Marishan, ten da'at cho, pay attention, because the minute you don't pay das, you know what das means? Das, intelligence. When you really use intelligence, you could never be arrogant. Because intelligence is common sense, that you are zero, you are nothing, it's all Hashem. Arrogant is the most stupid person, it's the most stupid, denying the fact. You just not use das. So when you lose your mind, that you take credit, I, Hashem says, okay, I can't stand it. It's repulsive to me. Wherever there's an I move out. Wherever you take lust in pleasure, without, Hashem says, I don't want you to suffer. I want you to enjoy life. Matter of fact, Hashem is compelling us to enjoy life. Make a Shabbos, have a good meal, get married, love your wife, have a relationship. Hashem wants us to enjoy life, but always have me in mind. Three, not two. if it's a husband and wife and the Hashem is out of the picture, not only if you violate halacha, even if you do the parameters of halacha, but Hashem, you know, sanctify you yourself with permissible things. I said, a bocher, a single guy, could never sanctify permissible because nothing is permissible. You can never have an opportunity to have fun without Hashem. Because the minute you have fun without Hashem, it's a violation. You got married, now you have a wife, she's kosher, you could have fun. Shall with Hashem, without Hashem. And if you say, Hashem, please, you know, leave the room for an hour, come back in an hour, actually it's called novel bereshisotoy. Hashem says, you're disgusting. You look only for yourself. It's not only violating halacha. It's Hashem says, I want you to enjoy the world, but almost three of us. You and your wife and Hashem. You and Hashem. Enjoy everything which you make a brocha, eat well, drink well, kosher, make a brocha, thank Hashem. Have me in mind. So Hashem gave, very interestingly, because He wants to give us a meaningful, challenging life, so Hashem gave us a job to do. You have a share in the world which only you could fill me in. The world pushes me out by nature. The world is full of lust and pleasure. Hashem says, keep sure, is a giver, a koivishes yitzvah. Hashem said to Adam Rishon, you know what your job is? I gave you orders, toivoy v'choshech, milus orders, fill in the world. Bring me in. How? Minimize yourself. The more you mevatel yourself, the more you bring me in. There's no vacuum in this world. Maybe take something out, something else has to replace it. When you take yourself out of the world, who replaces you? Hashem. You brought Hashem into the world. That's a part of Mashiach. There's Hashem, the whole world is filled with God. Who filled them? You, every one of us. Not Mashiach. Mashiach is only putting the pieces together, shows the world what we have done, what is your accomplishment. And therefore, without you, there is no Mashiach. If you don't surrender, if you don't give in, Mashiach cannot bring you anything from the outside. We are Mashiach. You have to feel it. We keep sure and concrete. Yes, give you kavishis. Don't give in to the loss. Don't give in to the pleasure that the world has to offer. Have me in mind. That's what you're doing. And this is the Beis HaMikdash. How are you doing it? With Deo. How can you really resist temptations? Only with mind. Best remedy. A child cannot resist temptations. Will cry and do everything just to get his temptation. The more you grow, you mature. So how come grown up people could do stupid things? They don't use their mind. Nectar's body, yes, this. So if you haven't got the day, you destroy your own personal Beis HaMikdash. You know what I mean to say? So therefore, and the same thing is with arrogance, with gaiva. A man with objective, clear mind thinking, you cannot take credit for anything. For nothing. Always use a line when I speak to seminars to secular people to prove the point to them that they are nothing. And how they live in a very paradoxic life. And I'm always having this exercise. And it always works. I says, ladies and gentlemen, would you close your eyes for 5 minutes and think about your past and draw a picture of your past? Everyone has a very personal picture. Everything which transpired through the last 5 years. Can you draw a picture? Okay. Everyone's closing eyes to draw the picture of the last 5 years. Then I said, can you tell me who were the artists, who were the architect, who did it? You? Everyone says no. No. Everyone planned something else. But it happened. I said, who did it? If you didn't do it, you don't claim it's yours. You went to Shlomil. Nobody gets what he wants. So I'm asking, tell me, what are you doing for tomorrow? You're planning. So what are you planning? 5 years ago, you were also planning. And now you're saying you didn't do anything. The things go always against you. So who's working against you? What are you planning for tomorrow? What's the point of planning? If you yourself admit the past is not me, so why the future is me? Again, but when you have a little success, you're arrogant. I'm so you just admit it, you're not doing anything. You're not claiming to take credit for the past. So why are you switching for tomorrow? Why are you pushing yourself for tomorrow? Obviously, you're not smart. If you're not smart, you're emptying out the world. If you're smart, Sam, pray. Say everything, Hashem. Thank you, Hashem, what you did to me. Don't worry for tomorrow. It's again Hashem. Let Hashem run your life. Hashem, you belong. What is your share to do? Recognize it. Just to recognize this fact, that's my job. In fact, that you're building a mishmash because this spot, this location gets filled with the Kodesh Baruch because you surrender the Kodesh Baruch. And you live according Kedoshim Tiyu Kadosh Atzor Vimutalach. Don't be a novel Rishus HaTorah. You're filled. So now we understand. Kodosh Shalom Nivre B'Samikdash Miyamov. if you had not built them today, bring Hashem to you, you're destroying it today. Whatever you do today has an impact that the ultimate Samidish cannot be completed. Samidish comes down for Hem for Mashiach, brings down our structure. If you don't build them today, here's nothing what to bring down. So actually you are destroying it. Now, how come the original Mashiach was destroyed? Now, who built the original Mashiach? The original Mashiach was built 480 years after we came out of the Why had it take? True, Shlomo Melech built him with all his wisdom. Why did he form it? Because again, as we said, that base of Shlomo Melech built is based to feel that was built for the world, not for us. The Mishmish is not made for you. You're building it. You are the structure. You are doing it. You know, just like take a contractor, he's building a beautiful home. That's it. But he's not living in it. He's building it. We are the one who building the Beis HaMikdash. And that Beis HaMikdash is supposed to bring out Hashem to the world. So how does the Torah say? But also the Mikdash, again, we're going back to the actual source of the building of Beis HaMikdash. Your own private life, wherever you go, your car, every dollar davis, every person, you know, the world have been subdivided for every human being gets 4 eyes. That you grave. Every person is entitled for real estate. Everyone has his own real estate. You have your grave. And not only your grave, the Dalai Lama, so wherever you go, Dalai Lama is a Shalom Koinasle, Rosh Hashanah, wherever you go, your 4 hours is your domain. Because this is your share, what you have to feel, you have to build. Also, the Mikdash, the Shechanti, make myself, the Shechanti, the Soichom, I dwell in them, the Kolechot, the Echot, the Mekem. The Soichom, I feel like Toch Tu Moisom. You could live in Times Square, you could live. I had business many years at my office, 45th Street, in 5th Avenue. My car was parked by 8th Avenue. If anyone knows what blocks, filthy blocks you had to go through every day, you can't imagine. Now, how can you resist this? This is my territory. Hashem shipped me in, talk to Moisom, make me sanctuary. How do you walk on the streets? How do you blow away in the streets? How are you blowing away? You know how much millions and millions of dollars Kodak is spending with the neon signs and times here. Just look at me, just look at me. People jump at you. And here goes a little Chanyokishi Jew, says, who cares for your pictures? You blow them away. All your billions of dollars, all the attraction that you try to attract, who the hell cares for you? You just blew them away. You just destroyed them. You have built a sanctuary. You bought Hashem, come walk with me. You walk in the worst, filthy places. And Hashem says, you're my companion. You are my companion. So Hashem says, 3 times a year, Shorosh Povim Vashona, Yeroi Kod Zuchurcho, every male should come up 3 times a year, Pesach Shavu Sukkos, Oile Vierege, but you have a poor night reikon, don't come empty. Poshup Shat means, bring your korban, so you have to bring. No. That means the Migdash Yerushalayim had to be continuously built. How do you build them? You build them at home. And you at home, you and your wife, or you on the streets, and you and your businesses, and you continuously give up of yourself, and you live with Hashem, you're actually generating Kedusha. Kedusha to your holiness. And we are, it's just like you have light. Why do you have light here? You have a nice fixture, and you have wiring, but it needs a generator. Somebody has to generate electricity. The Beis HaMikdash is nothing more than a bulb who has the capacity to light up the whole world. It's light to the whole world. But where does it get the energy? Every single individual Jew is the generator. You have to generate electricity. Where are you doing it? In your home, in Dalai Lama, on the streets, wherever you go. Just like a generator, you know, who burns number 2 oil. I used to be a landlord in real estate. I don't even know you guys know what it means. Crude oil, number 6 oil, number 2 oil. Number 2 oil could produce electricity, but if you need heavy-duty electricity, like you go in the Khadera electric station, then you need crude oil, heavy oil. When you burn up a heavy Yetzer Hara, you know how much energy it produces? When you have to work up a time scale Yetzer Hara, you know what electricity it produces, Kedusha? Much different than you walking in Beit Shemesh on the street, which you're not supposed to live. You're also creating energy, but how much already? So Hashem said as follows. Shlomo Melech had placed us the bulb, the projector, who has the capacity to light up the whole world, and which he did. But it cannot be built, the projector, unless there's enough energy. So for 480 years, we came out of Mitzrayim, and we were burning up the tumor of the world, Sur Mira, and generated enough electricity that it should be able to light up the bulb. So actually, now the bulb was lit up. But you have to continuously to burn it. And you generate it. Hashem says, you in your own homes, milus orders to keep sure. How do you behave at your own privacy life? How do you watch the Sisiach Vacharechem? If a Jew does not believe, and he goes on the street and doesn't look where not supposed to look, it's not that you're not doing an aveda. You're doing a production. You're producing Kedusha. And that Kedusha is why you're dealing to the Beis HaMikdash. With that light is lighting up the world. Your partner lighting up, that's Mashiach. So Hashem says, three times a year, you work on your life, you, everyone in his own business, in own homes, produce. Three times you have to come up, don't come empty. Bring a lot of electricity, a lot of Kedusha with you. And if you would have done what you're supposed to do, could the Bishwish ever be destroyed? You would feed him with Kedusha until it explodes, it lights up the whole world. That's the ultimate Mashiach. What had we done? He started cheating. He says, there's a lot of tzaddikim and electricity, but I'm a lazy guy, and I cheated, and I dried out. So, outwardly I came loaded, to totally empty inside. You went up, and you filled yourself up in the Beis HaMikdash. Instead of coming and filling the Beis HaMikdash, you ate up the Beis HaMikdash. You emptied them out. So slowly, after 410 years, boom, collapsed. Not the Nebuchadnezzar destroyed it. We ate them up. That's what the Gemara says, Kam chetechine kotochet. And just like Rabbi Miller once, I heard one of his tapes saying, if you take a nice box, a cardboard box, a nice big heavy cardboard box, and you put them on a fire, it burns and burns, but since what's very structured, it stays. But it's all burned up. Only take a little push and it collapses, a bunch of ashes. That was the Beis HaMikdash. We ate them up. Nebuchadnezzar just gave the last push. And we say, he destroyed it. We destroyed it. Because a man either builds, either destroys. If you use your deo, that means becoming humble, and you conquer Yetzer Hara, you're building. You're adding the Beis HaMikdash. In Zakir Shlomo Melech delivered the structure after 408 years of us preparing, and he produced it out to the world. But we didn't maintain them. In the beginning, yes, but then we started eating them up until it fell apart. However, if you don't build, you're destroying. Either you use your day, if you don't use your day, you're just using it. We're being Mechuzak. And this still today goes the same concept. So, with all this understanding, now you have see everything which is there. What is the birth of Mashiach? That's you. What is the birth of Mashiach? Dafka Tisha B'Av. Now what does that mean? We lost when we had the great Beis HaMikdash. How come people could have cheated? How come people could have cheated? And it's very simple. You know, when a person has to fight for survival, and if you know, if you don't, you know, in the Holocaust, very simple people became very great people. They had to fight for survival, physically, spiritually, in every sense. Many people grew out heroes in the Holocaust because they went and carried. It may not need a meal. If you're not going to do your job, nobody could give it to you. When everything is smooth, fine and good, you're being fed, you become lazy, complex, and you're not doing anything until you fall apart. Until you fall apart, like a child born to a rich, single individual child, a Ben Yochid, born to very rich parents, but everything he wants, he got everything, but he lost himself. He doesn't exist. We have the two paths to us. You have the individuality, which has to be continued. Remember Hashem needs you. Remember you have to build. Remember without you there is no Klal Yisrael. Remember without you there is no Mashiach. Remember without you Mini Mikdash there is no Beis HaMikdash for the world. Remember this. So when we don't have it, so you either get totally destroyed, Tisha B'Av afternoon, what remained? Me. You. Start working. That's Mashiach. Avraham Avinu came into the picture when? Under the worst circumstances. When the whole world denied the Kodesh Baruch. But when we had the Beis HaMikdash, we were spoiled, and we got everything golden platters, you lost the me. You lost the me. You were cheating. So it's a big deal, so I'm not going to build my share. You went up three times a year. Instead of bringing Kedusha, you're taking Kedusha. You're regenerating yourself, eating it up. The voltage has been decreased instead of increasing. Instead of increasing Kedusha, you repeat the Kedusha until it's destroyed. How come you cheated? Because you had where to tap in. You had where to take. Today, when we haven't got way to take, today, when you see, what happened, and that's exactly what I want to tell you. Who was the Rebbe of Avraham Avinu? who gave him the courage single-handedly to go against the world, says, Hashem, I'm replacing the world. I'm going to bring you back into the world. He was the first who called Hashem Adon, Master. Where did he took that strength? Nobody, 2,000 years, nobody did it, and he did it. That's because he came into a time exactly as we today, when the whole, the sheker, the lie was so obvious, so big. And he says, I can't stand it. There's no, I'd rather die than to live in this lie. That forced him to either get totally destroyed, either give birth. Tisha B'Av afternoon means either get totally destroyed and give up, despair, yiyush, there's nothing to be done, or give birth, take charge. Avraham came to the history of a Tisha B'Av. We came in today in a history, it's Chochma Makeres Mekoyma, Rois HaNoilet. We're living today in a world that nobody claims anymore truth. Nobody claims. You know, not too long ago, 34 years ago, was the world of communism, socialism. They really believed that's going to save the world. That's the answer to humanity. Half of the world became socialist, communist, and they gave up their life. Jews, secular Jews, Zionism, that's going to save us. We have everything. We don't need Torah anymore. We're going to have a strong army, never again. We're going to show the world. We're never going to be like sheep. Where are we today? On their own admission. There's no communism, there's no socialism, there's nothing. There's no humanism. The only thing that has been left is pleasureism. Eat and drink, because there's nothing but to live for. And the whole world is being changed. So if you don't shape up now, that's Tisha B'Av afternoon. There's nothing out there for you. Nobody's giving you anything. Only thing that's been left is you. Take charge. You take charge, that's the birth of Mashiach. That's Tisha B'Av, that's the birth of Mashiach. So why I'm hurting? I'm not hurting, I'm either like Hashem. Anyone who mourns for Yerushalayim, the Yitzhak Yerushalayim, I don't need Yerushalayim. I could be in any place in the world to have Yerushalayim. The contrary. Let me tell a personal story. I must tell you a personal story. Because I never in my life experienced such a Shabbos. Never before and never after till time. Still yearning for that Shabbos back. Going back about in 1970. How many years is that? Already? How many? Okay. My partner forced me to go to Bangkok. I had a partner, we imported precious stones, jewelry, whatever. So my partner was a traveler. He used to go to the Far East. One day says, it's not fair, your partner, you have to go. And I didn't want to go, because I was always involved in Rochnias. I went to Russia in 1966, and that was the agreement with my partner. I take off Shiva, learning, lecturing, and but my partner argued, I want you to go once to Bangkok to see yourself. You know, in case I get sick or something, or so he pushed on me. It's okay. I was very nervous. I was nervous in Begashmis and Beruchnias. Begashmis is because in Beruchnias, I don't want to describe what Bangkok is, what it was, and what I saw over there. I can't describe it. You know, it's not fair just to put it on record what it was. I was actually invaded in an elevator in the Hilton Hotel. I was invaded by a few undesirables just to attract me. And I had to push them out by force. It's unbelievable. The tomb of it was unbelievable. So I had to be there. And it came Shabbos, and I was very, very agitated and very anxious about the Shabbos. What kind of Shabbos? And there was some minions, some business people, which unfortunately means people far away, they don't behave the way they should be in the home. They're nice Jews. And over there, they don't behave like they should behave. And there was a minion. I didn't want to have to do with it, anything. So Friday morning, 5 o'clock, before daybreak, I went down to the swimming pool to have a mikveh, have a tefillah there. After the middle of this, I couldn't go in the pool anymore. And I locked myself in Friday afternoon, till Motzei Shabbos, till Sunday in my room. Had a wonderful food for my wife, canned, and had a little plate, and had everything. I must tell you, I had a Shabbos that Friday night, and Shabbos the whole day. I never had a Shabbos like that. The davening in my life, I never had. Rosh Hashanah Kippur didn't have such a davening. I never had in the zmiras and the food. Sitting alone in the 10th floor in the Hilton in Bangkok. Unbelievable. I never had such a Shabbos. I was so worried about it. Shabbos morning is davening. Alone, sitting alone. Such a nice. Shalashulis said a few business guys came up and I gave Torah. We had Shalashulis together. Such a beautiful. And I was so thrilled. I was so thankful. So thankful for that Hashem, I was so much afraid of the Shabbos. Hashem gave me such a Shabbos. Never had such a taste. Never tasted Shabbos like that. Sunday, or Monday, whenever it was, I was on my way to Japan. I was sitting on the plane. I was looking in a sefer. And a story comes up in the sefer. The Berubidim of Shischa, he was a big Rebbe, big Shatra. Before he became a Rebbe, he was a businessman. Of course, the business is to go to Yerid, to the whatever that is. And his minag was, every time when he came back from Yerid, before he went home, came Shabbos to his Rebbe, the Chosim in Lublin. Came to his Rebbe, the Chosim in Lublin. The Chosim was very much the Karifim, was a very big man. Abina was a big man. Abina Fishisko was a big man. So, once after, he had a very successful business. But those people, the reputation, the holy people in business, of course, the business was not more than a bait to make connections to Bimekarvid, Neshomas. He had a very successful Yerid. Yerid means, how do you call it?
Fair.
Huh? Fair. What has been a very successful, nothing Gashmir, Seruchnias, it was Mekarvid, beautiful Neshomas. You know, let me explain it in our terms. When Hashem sends you out to business, He's not sending you out to make money. Hashem gives you or doesn't give it. Hashem says you have to represent Hashem. Milu Soret. So how are you supposed to go? So if Hashem sends you out to business, go to Yerid, go to a fair which is full of princes, whatever that is, at their center, they bring the Shechira, because there's no Shechira there. Said a good, what was a good Yerid? That you were involved in the world, in the depth of the Shmutz of the world, and there you hosted a Kodesh Baruch Hu. That was a good Yerid. That a good, felt. So he had a very successful Ruchnis Ligi Yerid, fair. And he came to Chosen, like usual is to come, and doesn't give him Sholem. He's not accepted in his room. He's not acknowledging him. Came back Thursday, Friday, doesn't give him Sholem, ignores him. He was devastated. What did I do wrong? Why should Rebbe was always Mekarifim? He was a great man. So Thursday night, I said, Rebbe doesn't want to give him Sholem. What did I do wrong? So went to start learning a whole night to figure out what did I do wrong that I didn't deserve Shem should give, Rebbe shouldn't give me Sholem. And after learning a whole night in the morning, 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning, it occurred to him, it must have been I took a little credit for the beautiful affair which I had. I had a successful affair. I took a little bit more credit than I deserve. And Rebbe doesn't like it, you know, stay humble, you know, don't take any credit. And he says, let's start working on the Mishpodeo, you know, for your intelligence. He says, you did it, Hashem did it, why are you taking credit? He nullified himself. And as he's working, he's nullifying himself, he's coming down from his level. All of a sudden, the Chosek comes to cement, and she gives a big Shalom Aleichem, big Shalom Aleichem. And then he says, what's the big deal? Like a Jew goes on the streets of Brod, of Lemberg, in the fair. And everyone is busy with their Gashmis Digameras, and Hashem and the Shechina is there, and he hasn't got anyone who to connect to. All of a sudden, he finds a Jew like you, and he connected to you because he hasn't got any other alternative, and you're taking credit, you're the good fair. He had no choice. You were the best guy on the street. So, why are you taking credit? That's a Terubinam, Chayzatas Terubinam. And I'm reading it as I'm leaving Bangkok, that never had such a life for Shabbos. Of course, Hashem is in Bangkok just like he's in Yerushalayim, just like he's in a Kohel, but everyone's pushing him out. All of us, a simple little Jew like me, says, you disconnect yourself from the world, and say, he didn't get any better Jew who to connect, only to me. Imagine taking so much Chine alone, single-handedly. I had a wonderful, wonderful Shabbos. Never had a Shabbos like that. It's the biggest Tisha B'Av, but that's my birth. That's the way you should feel on Tisha B'Av. Hashem, you lost everything, but you have me. I have nobody, only you. Kumi Roini Barayz, get up and sing at night. You're hosting Hashem, you are the forest man, you're the primitive forest guy. But because Shechina has got way to go only to you, if you know that you get a taste of it, that's your birth. And if that's your birth, start working. So now when Hashem came to you, found Hashem, go into the year, and start spreading Hashem into the world, fill him up. Bring it into the world. But since I bought in non-intention the story of Bangkok, I'm going to tell you other story. All to do with Bangkok. About 12, I just happened to meet this guy last week. Last week I met him. I was speaking in Dizengoff in the Kavli Cup Center for Kiruv. And there was a guy, one of the organizers who were doing the Shuva, he went to him and said, "Don't you recognize me?" Looked at him and said, "You look familiar. Don't you remember Bangkok?" Wow. Bangkok. So it was about 12 years ago, I was running a Shabbaton for the community there, for the Shuva Yisroel, for the thing. Avram David was the Rav. And there was a Shabbaton there. And there was an Israeli about Shuva, and he says, "Would you mind going to Bangkok for a seminar, to run a seminar?" I said, "What? Bangkok seminar? What are you talking about?" He said, "Wow, we have thousands of guys there in Bangkok, Israelis. I was also there, you know. You could." So I says, "Well, if you could organize a seminar, you're drafting me, I'm coming. If ever you're being drafted." 2 months later, they organized a seminar. They took a hotel, 5-star hotel, 2 hours away from Bangkok. And I came down with Martin Neugreschel, came down, we had a seminar. What should I tell you? You know, people over there are all drugged up. And they go out to Curry, saw that in the center. They came with a bus and started hunting who is willing to come for a 5-day vacation free. But most of them was spaced out. I mean, nobody would come to talk to them. There was they gathered together about 60 guys, 60, 65 boys and girls, who were just only there a few days. They were not fully drugged up yet. So, and they came about 12 years ago. And when I saw the crowd, I'm sitting, I mean, what should I tell you? They were like cats, like nude cats. It's unbelievable. I said, "Why did you throw me down to Bangkok, Thailand to serve a seminar?" What should I tell you? From this seminar came out over 40 Bnei Baal Shuvas. 40. They got married already. I mean, I met this guy last week. Unbelievable. So unbelievable. So when I spoke there, I told the story, going back to my first trip in 1970. I said there, "I must tell you a story. I came here, going back at that time, about 25 years before, came here for business, to pry precious stones, sapphire, rubies. And I was very nervous. And I remember I was Shabbos in Jerusalem, and Sunday I took my flight to Bangkok. Sunday morning, 8 o'clock, I went into the Beis Yisroel, the old Gerer Rebbe. And for a brocha, and I took a kvittel. At that time already, Baruch Hashem had 10 children or what. At the Kleiner, a big family. And he looks at it, "So it's all yours?" He says, "Yes." He liked it. He liked a big family. Fine. So he gave me a brocha. So then I said to him, "I'm going now to the Far East, and I'm nervous about it. And so I need a special brocha." So he says to me, "It's Gunter, it's coming to you." And with a smile, like it wasn't his style. It was his fire. Says, "You're going to have it. You're going to have a brocha. You deserve it. You deserve it." With a big smile. "You will have it, Slocha. You deserve it." Okay. I was thrilled. I got such a thing. "You deserve it." With a big smile. It wasn't extraordinary in Gashmi. So it was the business. Whatever. I just learned the trade. I didn't see any special at Slocha. I said, "You know, I think he gave me the 'you deserve it.' He meant this seminar. I came not to bribe precious stones." He meant you. A tzaddik sees something, got a brocha. I meant to pay Safa rubies. So, Mashem Roy Evan is every Jew is a stone, it's a precious stone, all colors, every all the cosmetics. So, probably the brocha which I got 25 years ago meant you. And I said it very simple, fine. That Shabbos afternoon, I went to lay down a little bit to take a rest. Now, I don't read any secular newspapers, but Chlal. And even religious newspaper, like whatever that is, I don't read them. There's a little toilet, so in the bathroom, forgive me. So there's a weekly newspaper in America called the Yid, in Yiddish. And that used to be my newspaper where in a week in the bathroom, I didn't even finish the half of the newspaper. But okay, so. But in that newspaper, there's toilet stories, toilet words too, that you can read in the book, in the bathroom, so I never read them, because in the bathroom I can't read them. Out of the bathroom, I don't need them, I don't need the newspaper, I have Sforim. So I never read them. So I had a Yid with me, and of course that inside part, the toilet part, I never read, but that afternoon was very hot, there was no air condition. I lay down, and I'm going to read the toilet part. There was no Sforim, I'm not at home, so I took the toilet part of the newspaper, and I'm reading the story of Rabbinim, which I just told you the story 25 years before. I literally got goosebumps. I got literally goosebumps. I mean, I told them Thursday in the lecture, the bracha which I got at Tzaddik probably meant to you the precious stone, and I'm here. And I'm all of a sudden connected to, all of a sudden in my newspaper just happens to bring that story from the Rabbi Nachoyzer. If a person goes to such a remote places and he behaves with Hashem, the Shechina comes to him. That is called on Tisha B'Av afternoon. There's a spiritual Tisha B'Av when you see the search of everything and you find Hashem. That's the birth of Mashiach. Not because you deserve, because Hashem ain't got nobody, only you. And that when you were born and you take it, from there you start rebuilding the big Beis HaMikdash. That is our job, what we're supposed to do. And this is the Pshafa that I'm finalizing. Kodirot Feyer Sidiu Ben Amtsorim. The Moshe Pshat Yermi means all those who chased us, they couldn't get us a whole year, they got us in these 3 weeks, from Shemos HaBetamos until Tisha B'Av. Says the B'nai Soschar, Kol Roit Fei, Reft Fei, Kol Roit Defkot, the one who chases Hashem, who wants to find Hashem, and you couldn't find him a whole year. Pesach gone, Shavuos gone, Yom Kippur gone, they all run away, they come and go, they come and go, they can't get a hold of him. They come, you have a taste of Hashem on Pesach, have a taste of him. Birchas Moedech, it's a Moed. But the Moed, he comes and leaves. You can't hold him. You see, give Ben Amtsor, you could get a hold of him, could get a grasp of him, Ben Amtsor. Koro Olai Moed, because you want to meet Hashem, you have to look for him. Pesach, he comes to you. Tisha B'Av, we come to him. And if you find Hashem on Tisha B'Av, you see, well, you're going to have him. When we see Hashem, in that sense, our generation is the generation. Yeah, the Tisha B'Av is totally hiding, totally toy for void. But you see, what Jews of today, those who find Hashem, they get a hold of him. You don't lose it. You could grow from it. And for that, we're building back the big Beis HaMikdash, which Mashiach is going to bring an outstep to we are building. No questions?
How does the Kinnus on Tisha B'Av morning reflect this?
Only Tzar HaShechina, the God of Hashem, that we can bring out to the outside. I'm not mourning my personal disconnection from Hashem. My personal, I can't deliver it. I can't express it. You know, this is like you're in business, in the stock market, and you're building a building, and your profile becomes bigger and bigger, but you can't cash it. Mashiach is the time of the cashing time. So, the bigger your profile is, you can't cash it. The more it hurts you. A Shnorri hasn't got anything. He doesn't miss Mashiach. He doesn't cry Tisha B'Av either. He hasn't got what to cash. We're building so strongly, we add so much Shechina, and we can't cash it brought into the world. That hurts us, and that's what we cry on Tisha B'Av.
The personal side is not what
Tisha B'Av
is about.
The global side, Klal Yisrael, the Shechina, that Hashem is embarrassed. The other Rabbi, you say every morning, Ashreinu Matov Chalkeinu Manoim Gorim Yofi Rishoseinu. Right? You said Tisha B'Av too? Borach HaNishbaru L'Chvoida? We're not omitting those psukim. It's the opposite. It's not your personal loss. It's Hashem's desecration to the world. That I work so much for you and I produced you so much and I can't bring it out to the world because I need Mashiach. I need Klal Yisrael for that. Who are you? Yerushalayim is delivering our work for the world. So I'm mourning for Yerushalayim, but not for me. I and Hashem, up country, we have Hashem even more than ever before. We are much greater today in the goals than we're going to be wherever we were when Beis HaMikdash was there. So I'm mourning because it's not fair for you, Hashem. The world doesn't know you.
What's the trust in the Chazal that the Rav mentioned at the beginning?
It's everything answered. If you don't build your own Beis HaMikdash, then you're destroying it. So build them. How do you build them? That you accept. Everything that you have dominion, you could. We actually, the Beis HaMikdash from Mashiach is going to bring us is what we're building today. Every one of us is building it. That's what the Ramak says. He's bringing us our Beis HaMikdash.
What about the birthday of Mashiach? Why is Tisha B'Av the birthday of
Mashiach? Every individual Jew is being born on Tisha B'Av. And if you cry on Tisha B'Av that you have a relationship with Hashem, that's your birth. And we upgrade our connection to Kodesh Baruch Hu, and that all the mini Mashiachs which we are is the global Mashiach, which is representing us, personifies us. Mashiach could only give us what we give him, and I'm giving him my share. Yes,
I did understand the story of the 5 minutes closing the eyes to see who made the last 5 years.
Yeah,
a fry person is going to say they did it.
No.
Why?
Because everyone knows what you want, you plan everything goes differently. Yes, your successes, you may lie to yourself, but usually nobody says, no, it didn't work out. Nobody gets what you wanted. Good day. Let us see Mashiach.
perhaps then you should see what's going on in the world, and then you can learn from it and see what the future will be. Mm-hmm. But that could be misunderstood as you should see the news, or?
No, you should see what Hashem is doing in the world. How the world is destroyed. Not the news. You see what's going on in the world.